Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Moving forward, using all my breath.
The judge just turned to the jurors and said, "We received a note from you signed by your jury foreperson at 4:20 p.m. 4:20. Here come the verdicts. We have the verdicts. Okay. Count one is guilty. That is a felony charge. Count one, falsifying business records. Count two, also guilty, falsifying business records in the first degree. Count three, guilty, falsifying business records in the first degree. Count four, guilty. That's another felony charge, falsifying business records in the first degree. Count five, guilty. That's another falsifying business record in the first degree felony charge. So that is five felony charges that Donald Trump has been found guilty by this New York jury. We still have 29 other felony counts to go, but that is five guilty verdicts by this jury.
And he is going to read every single one the same exact way. I'm just, as a producer, you know, thinking about what's dramatic. It's not so dramatic when your news person sits there and reads the same exact thing 34 times. But then again, in fairness, I watched all 34. It was very, very repetitive. But finally, mercifully, we got to the end.
Guilty. Donald Trump found guilty on all 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. All 34 are felonies. Donald Trump has now been convicted of 34 different felony crimes by a jury.
Different felony. Yeah, 34 repetitions of the same crime. I mean, if he'd have written one big check, it would have been one count. Instead, he wrote, you know, 34 checks, so it's 34 charges, right?
By a jury of his peers.
Peers is kind of an interesting question. In a district where an incredibly small minority of the people voted for him. Not that that doesn't make them his peers. But, you know, you try to figure out these things as you go. You think about the Sixth Amendment, the right to a jury trial by your peers. You know, who's a peer of Donald Trump? I mean, I just don't think it's quite so obvious. But sure, okay, technically speaking, yes, correct.
By a jury of his peers in Manhattan. 34 felony charges for former President Donald J. Trump, convicted of 34 felony charges having to do with falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. An unbelievable moment in American history.
Yeah. There are just a couple of things that people on all sides agree about. Number one, everybody agrees, no matter what your viewpoint is, everybody agrees this was a significant moment in American history. Now, in what sense it's significant, whether that's a good or bad significant, we have a little bit of disagreement. you know, some will say the first time a former president is convicted of the wicked, terrible, no good, bad, illegal things that he did, that's something. Other people might say, the first time in American history that a candidate for president was actually brought in front of a jury to be tried by or for things that are incredibly minor that do not get charged against other similarly situated candidates might be another way to look at it. You know, that might be kind of the way. But, you know, again, there's agreement. Another point there's agreement about. This one might surprise you. When Trump gets up and speaks afterwards, he says,
"This was a disgrace."
This is not in the courtroom. This is outside at his favorite place to speak, by the way.
"This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here.
Now, he said several times, and he continues to repeat several times throughout his minute and 44-second comment, that it was rigged. But the key thing to note there is he says what? The real verdict will be decided when? November 5th. Now, again, as a matter of strict law, that's not accurate. The verdict doesn't depend on the election, and the election doesn't change the verdict. Although, if he wins, there's certainly a fairly hefty speculation that whatever sentence he's given, if it's even given by the time the election happens, or if he's serving it, or if there even is a serving to be done, you know, because fine or probation or jail time up to 4 years are all on the table, are all possible, you know, and could he commute his own sentence? Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves now. But none of that will really change based on the election per se. But the thing that he agrees with, even his critics about, even the Biden administration, well, I shouldn't say the Biden-Harris campaign, because they are theoretically different, but the Biden-Harris campaign also believes that what really matters is the election. And, you know, maybe you feel like I'm trying too hard to find points of agreement here, but, you know, it's always worthy to find when people who disagree about everything else agree. They wrote in New York Today, what we saw, that no one is above the law. Donald Trump has always mistakenly believed he would never face consequences for breaking the law for his own personal gain. But today's verdict does not change the fact that the American people face a similar reality. There is still only one way to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office, at the ballot box. Convicted felon or not, Trump will be the Republican nominee for president. So they agree that the real question is going to be November 5th. Apart from that, there's not a lot of agreement on this subject. And, of course, you know, basically all of your Republicans have come out and said this is a sham. Governor DeSantis, today's verdict represents the culmination of a legal process that's been bent to the political will of the actors involved. A leftist prosecutor, that's Alvin Bragg, partisan judge, Juan Merchan, and a jury reflective of one of the most liberal enclaves in America, all in an effort to get Donald Trump. Again, the venue change, the representation, the jury of your peers, that's kind of an interesting question when it comes to this particular location on such a highly politicized trial. I mean, certainly these folks or the people who live in this district could be impaneled for all kinds of juries. Can they be fairly impaneled for a jury of former President Trump? It's a fair question, okay? That this case involving alleged misdemeanor business records violations from nearly a decade ago was even brought as a testament to the political debasement of the justice. This is still Governor DeSantis, of the justice system in places like New York City. This is especially true considering this same district attorney routinely excuses criminal conduct in a way that has endangered law-abiding citizens in his jurisdiction. It is often said that no one is above the law, but it is also true that no one is below the law. If the defendant were not Donald Trump, this case would never have been brought. The judge would never have issued similar rulings, and the jury would never have returned a guilty verdict. In America, the rule of law should be applied in a dispassionate, even-handed manner, not become captive to the political agenda of some kangaroo court. So, somebody I respect greatly, Hugh Hewitt, a very good talk radio host, a very good man, and also a very well-informed legal analyst. He says that he wrote on Twitter yesterday, this is a travesty. And as certain as I have been on the air that the former president would be convicted, I'm just as certain the conviction will be reversed. Some of the grounds for reversal. The charging document did not specify the second crime. The judge has made a symbolic contribution at Joe Biden and two anti-at-real Donald Trump organizations in 2020, but refused defense's motion to recuse himself. You want to get worked up about Alito's flag. The judge did not permit former FEC, Federal Election Commission's chair, Professor Brad Smith, to testify about past decisions of the FEC, namely whether the payments to Michael Cohen, if in fact they were for, which I think we all know that they were, for hush payments or non-disclosure agreement, perhaps you prefer, for Stormy Daniels, you know, was that an elections contribution? And is the falsifying the business records in connection with the alleged elections violation, is that all accurate? Well, they weren't allowed to hear testimony from this person by the defense to rebut, okay? So that's a problem. The judge, another ground for appeal. The judge allowed plea agreements from Cohen and Pecker to be admitted into evidence, and the judge's charging instructions were beyond confusing and did not instruct on the elements of the FEC violation. And then the jury wasn't allowed to have a copy of the jury instructions in the room. They just had to remember it. And he says, there are more grounds, but this is a starter list with a terrible scar on the idea that our country does not conduct political show trials. All right, so my thought, okay, you know, it's my show. I'll give you my thought. I think the problem with analyzing this is we tend to be unwilling to break it apart into its constituent components. Let's start with the ones that Trump supporters are not typically going to like to talk about. Does anybody really doubt the basic facts in the case? Do you doubt that Trump had the sex? Do you doubt that she threatened to come out with it? Do you doubt that they offered her money? Do you doubt that Trump was aware of it? I mean, you know, do you really doubt any of that? The one spot in that you might doubt is you might doubt how much Trump was aware of it. That, of course, is a key element in the trial. And that they then called it legal fees instead of, you know, hush money or whatever. I think most reasonable people would agree that all of that is all true. The underlying facts of the case are true. Okay? Then, do you believe that it counts as a crime? Technically, maybe, yeah, it's pretty weak if you ask me, but that's technically, sure, okay, maybe. Do you believe that this kind of crime gets consistent treatment from the courts in New York? Oh, hell no. I mean, not even close, right? That's ridiculous. But then you have the next question is, do you believe that it's politically motivated? Well, put it this way. If Trump weren't running for president, do you believe this would be happening in this or the other three cases, but particularly in this one? I mean, come on. Come on. If he'd had two terms and this was now after he was, you know, term limited out, or he had said, I'm not running for president. Come on. This is I try to be reasonable with you. I tried to be reasonable with you. The first part, I agree with the underlying facts. I agree that maybe in some technical sense it's a crime. But, you know, would this have been done if he weren't running? Of course not. I mean, of course not. So then you have follow-up questions. Was this trial a fair way to produce the result of a felony, well, 34, felony convictions? Also, don't you kind of have to agree not? The way the judge behaved, the judge's own background, his daughter's bias in the case because she actually got money for consulting with several high-profile Democrats. I mean, you know, like, you don't have to believe that Biden called Mershon and said, go, man, go, in order to believe that this is not the right way to decide this massively historic first-of-its-kind case. That at least, at the very least, a change of venue. And if not that, several of the key rulings in the process of the case. Now, just because you believe that the trial itself was not conducted fairly does not mean you believe that Trump didn't do the things, nor does it even mean that you believe that in another venue or with a better judge, he wouldn't have also gotten a conviction. But the problem with trials is you can't know until you actually run it. And until you run it in a proper venue with a proper judge with correct rulings along the way, you can't know whether it was a fair trial, and therefore you can't say the result was an appropriate result, which is why you're going to have appeal, and which is why I completely agree with you, Hewitt. I think on appeal, somebody's going to be like, what in the hell are y'all doing over there? I mean, that's just, this is not going to hold up. The question is, in the meantime, you know, is he, when when July comes, is he going to have to actually serve whatever sentence it is? Well, we don't know what sentence it is, okay? One last thing, I think that for a point of analysis, regardless of the health or unhealth or the fairness or unfairness of this particular ruling and this process of arriving at it, and whether or not it has anything to do with former President Trump's campaign to become president again and whether there's a political motivation surrounding all of this by any of the key parties, okay? Put all of that aside. The last thing I would say is it good for our republic to have the former president and so many other people so often, so repeatedly attacking the system of justice itself? And I think you have to agree that's not good either. And weirdly, even if all the bad stuff is true, Because if the general population comes to the belief that our system of government and justice is corrupt and unreliable, well, I mean, you're on the, if they really believe that, you get to be on the brink of, you know, civil war at that point. You get to be on the brink of nobody trusts anything that comes from the government. And we also in America have always had a pretty healthy skepticism towards all forms of government. But you cannot have a stable republic unless people basically in their day-to-day lives trust that the process is fair. Now, there's a lot of people who don't trust that the process is fair. But most people take it for granted that the process is generally vaguely imperfect but fair. So if you have enough people, particularly very high-profile elected leaders, claiming that the process is broken, corrupt, rigged, unfair, political biased, banana republic, all of these things, even if that's true, the claim of it is still very, very bad for our country. That doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't say it, because how do you fix the problem you can't acknowledge is true? But that is also a concern in this case. So where do I come down on it? Well, I spent the last 10 minutes explaining. I think there's a lot of problems with this conviction. And there are also things you have to acknowledge about the truth of the underlying facts involved in this conviction. 526 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even 4-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy the past few years. How to know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 9 and hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with the Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's this morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Tom Bodette, and we'll leave the light on for you.
And you told me not to drive, but I made it home alive. So you said that only proves that I'm insane.
Good morning, 528 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Just one quick follow-up from the discussion about the Trump trial. I was talking about the change of venue being one of the things that's been raised as a criticism of this particular process. And Jimmy made a good point. He said, we were talking off the air, and he said, you know, they don't have to be his friends. They don't have to be his buddies. They don't have to look like him in order to be a jury of his peers. You don't necessarily have to change venue. And that's true. You don't necessarily have to. What I was trying to get at is that I think that if you do change venue, you make it less susceptible to the kinds of criticism, especially in such a high-profile case that it's getting. And I would have liked to see that, only because that would, again, immunize it from some of the criticisms that are being raised against this particular trial. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You hadn't heard about Trump and his 34 convictions, had you?
No, wait, what? No?
I'll
when
tell
did
you.
That happen?
mornings like this, trying to find any headlines that don't involve that are difficult. But Elon Musk has agreed to testify in an ongoing investigation about his purchase of Twitter. The SEC is now investigating whether Musk violated federal security laws when he bought the social media site back in 2022. The SEC sued Musk in October to compel him to testify, but a new court ruling revealed that Musk will now sit for a deposition at the SEC office. Musk says that is unreasonable.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Oh, somebody put a note in here at 437-1620. 34 felony charges of guilty for the exact same check being written to the exact same person over and over and over again. It's kind of like FHP giving you 34 speeding tickets for speeding 90 on the I-10 at mile marker 2, mile marker 3. that's not an unfair characterization. And again, you know, I think that he's probably not going to go to jail. I think he's basically going to get probation. That may affect the campaign, though, if you can't prep.
Fox News, I'm Sue Gussman. Reaction continuing to pour in after a New York jury convicted former President Donald Trump of 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
This is what you see in banana republics, and it is, I am both furious and heartbroken at the same time.
Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had this to say about the verdict on Fox's Jesse Waters Primetime.
I think the Democrats feel like they have, the DNC feels like it's like it has a candidate that cannot win fair and square in the polls. And so they have to win in the courts. They have to win by clearing the deck and getting their other opponents out of the race.
Former president isn't on speaking out about his conviction yesterday. He's scheduled to hold a news conference this morning to speak more about it at Trump Tower. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio Pensacola right now, 71 degrees and partly cloudy skies this morning. Well, strong reaction from Florida Republicans in the aftermath of former President Donald Trump's conviction on all 34 counts yesterday in the criminal hush money trial in New York. Senator Marco Rubio tells Fox that it was a show trial. He says it's troubling that that could happen in America.
I think it's terrible. I think what this showed today is that if they can go after a former president with a ridiculous charge like this and gain a conviction, they can go after anybody. And most people can't afford to fight this stuff off.
On X, Congressman Matt Gaetz says, quote, "This verdict is the corrupt result of a corrupt trial, corrupt judge, and a corrupt DA. We will stand with President Trump now more than ever to save the country," end quote. Governor Ron DeSantis also called the case a, quote, "testament to the political debasement of the justice system in places like New York City." An Atmore man has been arrested in connection to a double stabbing that happened at a tractor supply store about a month ago. 19-year-old Luke Still was arrested after being released from a treatment center for injuries. He's now charged with first and third degree assault, burglary, criminal mischief, and theft. That incident happened on April 23rd at the store on Lindbergh Avenue in Atmore. Investigators say they arrived about noon to find multiple people suffering from severe stab wounds. Two other men were reportedly found in the parking lot with no injuries, but a large amount of blood on their clothing. Additional charges and suspects in that case are pending. The state of Florida is continuing to work to address a nursing shortage. According to a report from Channel 3, the Nurse Journal expects Florida to be able to meet the demand in 4 to 5 years.
It's a combination of dealing with significant shortages, but also dealing with high turnover rates. It is an incredibly difficult and demanding job in the best of circumstances.
And that is Mary Mayhew. She's the president of the Florida Hospital Association and says that in the aftermath of the pandemic, many nurses opted to switch into roles and careers that were less taxing, with no nights and no weekends. Well, the state of Florida is soon requiring insurance agents who write policies for citizens' property insurance to get at least 3 offers that their customers can sign on with the state-backed company. More from Reed Shepard.
This is part of legislation approved earlier this year and signed into law by Governor DeSantis. Mark Friedlander with the Insurance Information Institute says part of an ongoing effort by citizens to shed policies and lower its risk exposure.
And even though depopulation is going very well, they've moved over 400,000 policies to the private market. They're also adding new policies. They've added about 200,000 policies during that same time frame.
As a result, Friedlander says the company has a long way to go to reach its ideal size of 400,000 to 500,000 homeowner policies. I'm Reed Shepard.
Thank you very much, Reed. And now, 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up quickly into the upper 80s. We'll have plenty of humidity, high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. As we head into Saturday, 40% chance of rain in the morning, then turning into an 80% chance of rain during the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms with a high near 83. Saturday night, 40% chance of rain, low near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, we have 71 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 68 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Cole Murray with Your Money Now. All regulatory approvals outside of the U.S. related to the proposed merger of U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel have been approved. The green light was received by the Mexican Federal Economic Competition Commission, the Ministry of Economy of Slovakia, and more. The company said the merger transaction is expected to be completed in the second half of this year, subject to the completion of closing conditions, including the receipt of required U.S. regulatory approvals. The movie trailer for Moana 2 has become Disney's most watched ever for an animated movie, clocking in 178 million views in just 24 hours. The new record surpassed trailer views for Inside Out 2, Frozen 2, and Pixar's Incredibles 2. Views are solely from online across TikTok, YouTube, X, Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat. Moana, Maui, and the Great Powerful Ocean will return to theaters November 27th. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Pensacola Scenic 90 Cafe has been shining bright with some of the best Southern-style home-cooked food around for 25 years. And to celebrate their big anniversary this June, you get the gifts with 25% off lunch and dinner entrees all June long. That shrimp and crawfish Savannah? Yes, perfectly cooked ribeye, 25% off. It's happening through June at the Diner's Home at 701 Scenic Highway in East Pensacola Heights. For more information on Scenic 90, visit them at scenic90cafe.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. I think we might be just past the really cool sunrise, so if I'm telling you now and I didn't tell you before, I apologize. I knew it coming in. Oh, open the window, Jimmy. It's going to be a good sunrise. And it turned out to be a good sunrise. I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry. You didn't look? It was really. I put a picture on Facebook, but it never does it justice.
How come I get made fun of when I talk about the beautiful sunrises?
I don't make fun of you.
I'll tell you.
All right.
You're right, it is.
Turn them off. We're done. Yesterday we had a chance to talk You're right, David. I'm a total hypocrite. I'm so sorry. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Mike Wood, the public information officer from the Pensacola Police Department, but we began the segment by playing a news clip of something that I wanted to talk about with him.
In Michigan, a driver with a suspended license left a judge stunned when he showed up to his virtual court hearing like this.
Mr. Harris, are you driving?
Actually, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually.
He's suspended and he's just driving.
That is correct, Your Honor.
I don't even know why he would do that.
Right? Judge J. Cedric Simpson, seemingly in disbelief earlier this month during the court hearing for that driver, Corey Harris, the judge confirming multiple times that Harris did not, in fact, have a valid license. He then revoked Harris's bond and ordered him to turn himself into police that evening, leaving Harris in apparent disbelief.
So he's having the hearing over his suspended license. He's participating in the hearing on Zoom, on his phone, in his car, while he's driving to the doctor's office. This is in Michigan, where it is also, by the way, illegal to be on your phone when you're in the car. Mike Wood is here in studio with us. And you have a guest with us. Is that right?
We do. This is Mallory. She's shadowing me. She's wanting to be a PIO one day and wanting to hang around and see how things are done. So
can we say who Mallory is? Because she's a sort of...
Yeah.
Her father is Ronnie Rivera, who know and love and is a fantastic community servant and has raised a very capable daughter who I think has a Ronnie Rivera-esque sense of self-esteem.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I take that as pride.
Yeah, absolutely you do. Absolutely. Okay. So, Mike.
all I can say on that is...
But the reason I wanted to ask you about this, the reason I thought this is... You encounter people who drive on suspended licenses or drive without a license all the time.
Right.
Maybe it's because I'm just more of a rule follower, but I find it amazing that people have their license taken away and keep getting behind the wheel of a car or don't have insurance and keep getting behind the wheel of a car. But this to me is he's so oblivious that it's like the rule doesn't even register for him that this would be a problem.
Well, what I was about to say, if you get into law enforcement and you're in it for any amount of time, like 2 weeks, nothing surprises you anymore. Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me. That's something that we see all the time. In fact, when we began this initiative downtown with the loud music and the loud pipes, we had people driving on suspended felony, driving on suspended that are stopped for having their radio too loud or their pipes are too loud. So if you're driving on a suspended license, you probably should be the best driver on the road and do everything you can not to get the attention of the police. But fortunately for us, that's not the way it is. The pickings are easy. We're able to stop these vehicles, and we find out very quickly that they don't have a driver's license.
I remember doing ride-alongs thinking that same exact thing. You know, we'd park somewhere and watch a four-way stop to see what happens. And you always find people who don't, and then you think it's appropriate, you pull them over, and then, you know, they're carrying drugs. And you're like, if you're engaged in crime, you should be best behavior. But again, if they were rational, they wouldn't be in the situation to begin with, right?
Exactly.
So I found that an amazing story and couldn't make sense of it and thought I'd give you a chance to talk about it. You mentioned the code enforcement with the off-duty police officers hired by the Downtown Improvement Board to enforce the noise ordinance, which has always been illegal, but we're putting extra ears on that particular problem right now. Last time we talked, we had a few dozen citations. You found people that had felony warrants. You found people that were driving on suspended licenses. You know, you find a bunch of stuff when you pull people over for these other violations. How's it been going since then?
It's been going good. I think we're up to about 60 citations right now.
Okay.
We'll be going through that again this weekend. And we need to remember that it's not just a weekend situation downtown. The officers all over the city are going to be enforcing these laws.
Very good. Wanted to ask you, and we haven't had too many any incidents. I think we've been fairly quiet in the city.
It has been.
Which I know y'all don't like that word because you're all super superstitious.
Uneventful.
Uneventful. low newsworthiness.
Yes.
Incidents. Okay, so fair enough. We'll take that to heart. I did want to ask you, you're training somebody to be a PIO, or Mallory is going through the process of learning to be a PIO?
Right.
Okay. And this is a role, which obviously we have you on all the time, and we talk to a lot of public information officers, but particularly for the police, this is a role that has changed. You know, there was a time when the view by law enforcement was, don't talk to the media, don't talk to anybody. You will tell you when we're ready to tell you.
Right.
Right? That kind of thick blue line, I think, between, you know, communications and media transparency, which has been changing maybe a little slowly over the years, but has definitely changed substantially even over the last decade.
Yeah, it has. And when I did this the first time in a city called Hopkinsville, Kentucky, it was the Nashville market covered us. We were a very busy police department. And I knew that when something happened, I had a couple hours to put a news release together. And I knew when the media's deadlines were. I would get them the information and plenty of time for them to put the story together and have it ready for their on-the-hour news or, in the case of TV, 4, 5, 6, 10, so on. But on one day, and that was January 15th of 2009, changed everything about how news is gathered and disseminated. And there was a man named Janice Crumbs that was on a ferry in the Hudson River, riding across the river, when all of a sudden a plane dropped out of the sky and landed in the river. And he grabbed his phone and he started taking pictures and putting them on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He beat all the major networks to that story. That picture took off. Mm-hmm. And nothing has been the same since then. It's all on social media. All your major media outlets now use social media as much as anything, probably more now. And it's just going over to that area of news dissemination. So we have to keep up with that. We have to, in order to stay ahead of the narrative, we have to get the information out to the media as quickly as we can. It might not be very detailed at first, but we're going to let you know what we have and where it's at, and then we're going to update you as quickly as we can to keep disinformation and misinformation off of social media.
I was just going to say, that's the battle, right? Is, you know, people have always talked, there's always been rumor and gossip, and, you know, on the one hand, you didn't necessarily encounter it as much, but... You know, social media gives everybody a newspaper, everybody a radio station, everybody a TV station,
right,
and multiple of them, you know, depending on your different platforms. And the result of that is sometimes very, very useful. And the result of that is sometimes extraordinarily counterproductive.
Yes.
Because let's just put it this way. Not everybody should be trusted with their own newspaper or TV station or radio station. Not everybody is up to that task. So, yeah, back to this conversation about social media and, you know, just... putting a newspaper power or a TV station, radio station's power in everybody's hands all the time, you find out that not everybody's really up to that task. And specifically when it comes to law enforcement stories, right? I mean, you guys have to, the information is as important as the actual facts, because the information shapes how the public reacts to what your officers are doing all the time, right?
Absolutely. We want to get the information out there quickly but accurately, and sometimes that's tough to do. And that's why our initial information we put out is not very detailed, because we simply don't have the numbers. We don't want to speculate. Mm-hmm. In this business, you do not speculate. We need to give out facts. That's what the public wants, and that's what they deserve, especially in the situation of involving kids. If something happens at a school or at a movie theater or at the mall, we need to get the information out quickly, but we've got to be accurate, because we don't want to cause any undue panic.
And also in some cases, like, you know, recently with the school, turn out to be completely different,
right,
from what you initially thought. And if you put out, hey, we think it's this, people freak out and it turns out, well, it wasn't that at all. And, you know,
right,
that, you know, we had a local example of that.
Yep.
that can be a problem. And sort of, you know, like, in that regard, we talked about criminals doing things that, you know, are sort of irrational or whatever. I think the fact that so many criminals video themselves and do live video and like to share and brag and provide evidence, let's just say, in leads.
Yeah, social media has been an investigator's friend as well.
Yeah.
Stolen merchandise, video of the crime being committed.
Right.
They post things like that, and we certainly don't mind that at all. It helps us solve cases quickly.
One thing that I have been wanting to ask you for a while, and I've never had a chance to do it, and I'm just kind of curious about this. When you make an arrest, you're a law enforcement officer, you make an arrest, do you as a cop follow that case? Do you follow the trial? Do you pay? Because it takes years a lot of times for these cases to be disposed. Do you keep track of that? Do you keep track of it more if it's your own case as opposed to just like a general high-profile case? Or do you kind of do your job, make your arrest, show up for the trial when you need to, and deal with other stuff? Because, you know, who's got time for all that?
Well, it depends on the arrest. A misdemeanor shoplifting arrest, probably not. But a major arrest, something that got a lot of attention, something that may be very personal to the officer or the investigator, those are cases that they keep up with. Mm-hmm. They also want to know what happens to their cases in court to make sure they're presenting good, solid cases. They would like to see a high conviction rate.
Sure.
So they'll keep up for reasons like that on the big cases.
Okay. Mallory, I didn't necessarily say that you were going to be on the air, but I am curious, and you can feel free to decline, but you've been doing this for how long? You've been in training?
Just a couple of weeks now.
Okay. Tell me something that surprised you that you've learned in the last couple of weeks. Anything stand out that's interesting or different?
Probably not anything really different. I think I was surprised by how much, like, connection that, you know, Mr. Woods has here. You know, he talked about, and also at school that I'm learning is that, connection is key, and, making sure that you keep, you know, your friends and also like coworkers close, because, you know, that is the kind of thing that will keep, like, take you so long. You know, he brought donuts today, but also he's here to, you know, let's listen to you and really answer to the public.
Brought us donuts.
I know, I do things backwards.
But no, he's great. I mean, I really think the connection was what really, like, surprised me, because I'm like, you know, I've always seen that, like, you know, the news is always trying to make people look bad, and, you know, here in Pensacola, I see the complete opposite, and it's definitely, like, eye-opening to me.
Yeah, it's a the relationship between the news media in Pensacola and law enforcement is atypical. But in part, it's atypical because, you know, some of us have certain ideas about how this ought to go. And also because people like you, you know, go, and other PIOs go out of their way to really make that a more amicable relationship than it than exists in other places. And by the way, I know, Mike, you're a typical cop. You love to receive praise to your face. But, you know, I believe that you are, like, at the top of the PIO capability. And one of the things is because of how he maintains relationships, provides information, reaches out proactively, you know, always responsive. I will say that not everybody is, and you absolutely are. I mean, many are, but you are. There's nobody who's better. There are some who are nearly as good as or as good as, but nobody does it better. So I really appreciate that. I had a cop myth fly in and out of my head that it suddenly occurred to me that I was going to ask you about, and then... Oh, no, you mentioned it. It was the conviction rate. On TV, you always see cops portrayed as being graded on their conviction rate and caring about their clearance rate and, you know, fighting and squabbling over, this is an easy case to clear, I want it. This is a hard case, I'll never clear it, I don't want it. Is there any part of that that's accurate, or what parts of that might be true?
No, the cases are assigned to investigators, and it's their job to clear those
cases.
You got to
see his smirk. It's just like, oh, my God, these idiots.
No, that's... That's not how it works at all. The cases are assigned to the investigators, and they try to clear those cases, all those cases. And when they present them to a grand jury or they go to court, they are very interested in how they turn out, and they want good, solid cases. Nobody wants an investigator that's presenting cases that are constantly getting thrown out, or a patrol officer either. Every time he or she goes to courts, the incidents are getting thrown out. Nobody wants that either. So we want to present good, solid cases.
Are is there, like, you've got to clear 60% or you don't make the next rank? Is there anything along those lines?
No, I mean, if you might not last as an investigator very long if your cases are not being cleared and
gotcha.
Your conviction rate's low, but I've never heard of that at the Pensacola Police Department.
And you mentioned something a moment ago that I just want to amplify because I thought it was so good, is you follow your cases so that you can learn which ones are succeeding so that you can learn how to make better cases. Because if you don't know why cases make or fail, then you won't be able to properly gather evidence and decide which cases to proceed with or not, in order to not waste the court's time, for example, right? All of those things are factors.
Exactly, that's right.
Very good. Mallory Rivera in training for Public Information Officer training, and Mike Wood, of course, the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Thank you so much for coming in today. Great to talk to you. I appreciate the work.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 5:53 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you are thinking about a vehicle change or putting off thinking about a vehicle change, which I know I do because... You're normal. Nobody likes to buy a new car because, you know, it's inconvenient. It takes time. You have to make decisions. You often feel harassed in the process, or at least you don't enjoy it very much. And so why would you subject yourself to that until you absolutely have to? I get it. Okay. But at the same time, Frontier Motors knows that too. And they specifically looked at how cars are sold and thought, how can we do this in a way people will hate a little less? You know, maybe hate not at all. Maybe enjoy. Okay. At least not hate. Okay, that's a big improvement from how most people endure this process. So go, it's easy. I'm telling you, we bought a car like with the easiest of conversations, and it, you know, just, hey, can you work with us on the price? Yes. Can you work a little bit more? Yes. Can we have some time? Yes. Can we buy the car? Yes. I mean, it took a little longer than that, but not much. I mean, that was kind of how it went for us. So if you're looking at a good quality used car, you know, 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition, Frontier Motors. They'll take care of you. They've been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
May is Military Appreciation Month, and Jim's Firearms is proud to honor our military. During the month of May, Jim's Firearms proudly thanks our troops for their hard work, dedication, and commitment to the fight for our freedom. Join Jim's Firearms in saluting the men and women who serve our United States military. Jim's Firearms, on the corner of Blue Angel Parkway and Sorrento Road in Pensacola. Stop by today or visit jimfirearms.net. Jim's Firearms, they truly are the best in town.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I saved your life!
I saved your life. That's the whole point. What the hell were you even thinking?
You told me not to think.
Good morning, 5:57 here on News Radio Pensacola. Happy Friday. You made it, almost. I mean, you got one more day probably, okay? Unless you're, you know, me and Jimmy, in which case, you know, we're done for the week after this. So, not to rub it in your face or nothing. But the upside of working a crazy, ridiculous morning show schedule is Friday at 10, you're done. It's all over. Unless you work three jobs like Jimmy does. In which case, nothing is ever over. Nothing is over until I say it's over! Is that the wrong application of that quote from First Blood? Maybe it is. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a cell phone expert in the University of Idaho murder trial says the data collected by authorities appears to help the suspect, Brian Koberger. Cell phone tower analyst Cy Ray took the witness stand yesterday and said his review of the evidence collected by police and the FBI showed his phone was not mapped at the time of those murders. Amazon Prime customers are going to be getting a little bonus, Grubhub Plus subscription. The Amazon membership now including a free subscription to Grubhub Plus, the food delivery service. The company's announced that partnership this week. And then yesterday, amidst all the headlines of the Donald Trump guilty verdict, there was also a story that that came out. A Minneapolis police officer was ambushed and killed by a gunman that he was trying to help in Minneapolis. Police had responded to a double shooting at an apartment complex there. The suspect was also wounded and died at the scene of that incident.
Yeah, terrible thing. David, thanks so much for the update. We have a winner in the Scripps Spelling Bee. How dare you not tell us?
Well, I hadn't gotten there yet.
No, there's too much to cover. There's always too much to cover. No, what's interesting in this case is, and I did not watch it, so I'm going on the reports, but... You know, typically what they do is they compete until they're down to two, and then when they're down to two, they go head-to-head for a while. And then they go to this, like, spell-off, which is not freestyle rap in the style of Pitch Perfect, but is in fact, you know, who can spell the most words correctly in a specified period of time. And so, you know, rapidity matters, right? Well, they skipped the head-to-head normal pattern. They just went straight to the spell-off. And, you know, the guy who lost and some of his supporters, I mean, I don't know if the guy's complaining, but, you know, a lot of people said, why didn't they do the normal head-to-head? And I actually agree. You ought to have the normal way of doing it. It may not have produced a result, but follow the regular process before you go to penalty kicks. And then penalty kicks, which are really fun, but, you know, you got to earn it.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.